For those seeking a deeper connection with the Holy Quran, don't go anywhere. Let's recite the Quran with Mr. Habibullah Fasizadeh. This program focuses on enhancing your Quranic recitation skills at level 2. So stay with us for the journey ahead as today's special is coming up next. Let's reflect, connect, and grow together in today's broadcast. Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. In the name of Allah, dear brother and sister, Salam. You're listening to today's special from IRIB English Radio, and in this episode, we're going to speak about the impact of social media on human interactions. Today is Friday, 14th of Jamadi al-Thani, 1447 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 14th of Azar, 1404 of the Solar calendar, and the 5th of December, 2025 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We listen to Chapter 3, Verses 133 to 134 of the Holy Quran.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Wasari'u ila maghfiratin min rabbikum wa jannah. وَجَنَّةٍ عَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ أُعِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ
And hasten to forgiveness from your Lord, and a garden as wide as the heavens and earth, prepared for the righteous.
الَّذِينَ يُنْفِقُونَ فِي السَّرَّاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ وَالْكَاظِمِينَ الْغَيْظَ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ
Who spend in the cause of Allah during ease and hardship, and who restrain anger and who pardon the people, And Allah loves the doers of good.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
This verse introduces the attributes of the pious ones. They spend out in any condition they are in, whether when they are in ease and welfare or at a time when they are in deprivation and adversity. The third attribute of the pious ones mentioned here is that, and who restrain their anger. The fourth quality they have is that, and pardon the faults of men. Their fifth quality is that they are good doers, and the Lord loves the doers of the good.
Allah, Allah, Allah,
impact of social media on human interactions is the core of this episode of today's special Be With Us. As digital platforms become ingrained in daily life, concerns about social media's impact on mental health and behavior, particularly among young people, have intensified, sparking debates over the need for stricter regulations. In response, governments worldwide are considering policies to limit social media use. Australia, for instance, is introducing age restrictions on social media platforms. In Europe, this initiative mirrors a broader global trend. In Europe, similar measures are under review. Italy and Ireland are considering smartphone bans for minors, while Belgium and the Netherlands have already prohibited phones in schools, citing negative impacts on learning and academic performance.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his purified progeny. Dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum and welcome to another edition from series of today's special from Arabic English Radio. This is your host, Alif. As for today, we're going to talk about how does social media affect human interaction. Social media often encourages a created and idealized representation of self. The pursuit of likes, shares, and followers can lead to a performance of identity where individuals present a carefully constructed persona rather than their authentic selves. This can lead to feelings of inauthenticity and a disconnect from one's true self. Algorithms prioritize content that is perceived as engaging, often emotionally charged, leading to the increased spread of sensationalized or dramatized content. But here there are some FOMOs. What are FOMOs? Fear of missing out. The constant stream of updates and notifications on social media can create a sense of FOMO, leading individuals to feel anxious or inadequate about their own lives. This anxiety can be exacerbated by the algorithmic amplification of curated content that often showcases idealized lifestyles and achievements. This is related to the concept of availability heuristic, where individuals are more likely to overestimate prevalence of certain events or experiences based on their accessibility in memory, which social media amplifies. But now, what about social comparison envy? This is another case that needs to be discussed and to be paid attention to. Social media platforms often facilitate social comparison where individuals compare their own lives to those of others. This comparison can lead to feelings of envy, inadequacy, and low self-esteem, particularly when individuals compare themselves to idealized representations of others. The use of image editing software and filters further contributes to the creation of unrealistic standards of beauty and achievement. Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio. Today's special.
Do's and don'ts on using social media. Don't misrepresent yourself. Dishonesty can have serious personal and professional consequences, even on social media. It might feel easy to misrepresent yourself when you're hiding behind the scene. But even a seemingly innocent embellishment on your LinkedIn profile, such as inventing a more impressive title as a previous job, could get you canned. Using social media to take credit for the achievements of others also a no-no. Use social media mindfully. Be aware of how social media affects your mood and self-esteem. If you find yourself feeling anxious or inadequate after scrolling through your feed, it may be time to reassess your social media habits. Focus on using social media for meaningful connections rather than as a platform for comparison or validation. And one do. Do-it-yourself background checks. When most people meet someone new for the first time, they often feel a need to reduce uncertainty or learn more about them when deciding whether to form a friendship. This is usually done in three ways. By interacting directly with the person, asking others about the individual, or by observing the person, interact with others. But now research has shown that social media has introduced a fourth strategy. Platforms like Twitter and Facebook are particularly rife with uncertainty, reducing information such as personal beliefs, friends and acquaintances, and photographs. This could be useful information to people forming any kind of relationship, but potential employers especially tend to do routine social media searches for job applicants before scheduling a face-to-face interview.
Social media platforms should prioritize user well-being in their design choices and be more transparent about their algorithms. This includes providing users with greater control over their content feeds, limiting the spread of misinformation, and addressing the addictive nature of platform design. Second, data privacy and security. So here, robust data privacy and security measures are essential to protect users from exploitation and abuse. This includes implementing strong encryption protocols, providing users with control over their personal data, and holding platforms accountable for data breaches. And then regulations and oversight are needed to be observed again and to be regulated. Governments and regulatory bodies should play a role in overseeing social media platforms, ensuring that they adhere to ethical standards and protect users' rights. This includes addressing issues such as data privacy, algorithmic bias, and the spread of misinformation.
That was a very essential and interesting topic. So inshallah, we'll continue during these days. Tomorrow, be with us with the same topic. Thank you for listening. That was today's special from IRIB English Radio. And till then, fi amanillah.
You can talk it down, turn the other way. Fear the truth, but it won't go away. Can you hear it calling? Yeah. You can write it down, but nobody cares. It's an untold story of our biggest fears. It can reach you with no warning. Yeah, yeah. When the sun there's a part of me that won't understand, having sleepless nights with my head in my hands. I'm here and tears are falling, yeah. If I could right the wrongs, would you lend me a hand? I would make a difference to this beautiful land. If I'm nothing, I have my intention. When the sun goes down and there's nothing left around, can you feel it? Can you feel it? When your knees are on the ground, you may fear, but it's allowed. Are you listening? 'Cause I need forgiving. I need forgiving.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You are listening to the program Hadith of the Day on Iran Radio with Sheikh Danish.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, dear brothers and sisters, salam, and welcome to this episode of the Hadith of the Day. So today we reflect on a profound saying of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his holy progeny. He's quoted to have said, when Allah desires the survival and growth of a community, he grants them moderation and chastity. But when he wills their downfall, he opens for them the door of betrayal. So this hadith offers us a roadmap, what makes societies prosper and what leads them to collapse. Let's begin with moderation. In psychology, moderation is strongly linked to resilience. A 2021 study published in Frontiers in Psychology showed that individuals who practice balance in their habits, whether in eating, spending, or even in using social media, have lower stress levels and stronger relationships. Imagine a family where spending is balanced. They live simply, save wisely, and avoid debt. Such moderation creates stability, and stability is the soil in which growth happens. And the hadith also emphasizes afaf, or chastity. Beyond its personal meaning, chastity also represents integrity and purity in social dealings. Modern sociology confirms this, that societies that value honesty and self-restraint tend to have higher trust levels. For example, a 2019 World Bank report highlighted that communities with higher trust enjoy better economic development because businesses, governments, and families can rely on one another. Trust, born from integrity, is the invisible glue holding societies together. Now, let's look at the other side, betrayal. Betrayal can appear in many forms. Corruption in government, dishonesty in business, and even disloyalty within families. History gives us painful lessons. Take the fall of the Roman Empire. Historians know that the internal corruption and betrayal of values played as much a role in their decline as external invasions. Modern science echoes this too. Neuroscience research shows that betrayal not only destroys relationships, but also creates trauma similar to physical pain. A society infected with betrayal slowly loses its ability to cooperate and eventually collapses. So, what can we do in our daily lives to align with this prophetic wisdom? We can practice moderation, set boundaries. For example, limit screen time to protect mental health or adopt the 50-30-20 rule for money. 50% for needs, 30 for wants, and 20 for savings. And we can live with integrity and protect trust. So inshallah, until next time, stay balanced and trustworthy and stay inspired. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
You just listened to the program Hadith of the Day on Iran Radio with Sheikh Danish.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
This is the Heart of Life pounding. IRIB English Radio.
If we were able to target cancer cells directly without affecting the healthy tissue surrounding it? Well, that's exactly what the scientists here at the Atomic Energy Organization of Iran have been able to do using yttrium-90. So in this week's episode of Iran Tech with me, your host Ali Reza, we're going to dive deep into how yttrium-90 can be used to target cancer cells in the liver directly without affecting the healthy tissue surrounding it. Stay tuned. Clarify something first. When I say liver cancer, I don't mean just the type of cancer that the cancer tumors that originate from within the liver. I also mean other types of cancers that have metastasized, and you can find the metastasized cancer tumors inside the liver as well, which actually makes up the majority of liver cancer cases. And treating liver cancer has been traditionally difficult using surgery and chemotherapy because only about 30% of actual patients qualify to get these treatments. And, you know, speaking of the treatments, chemotherapy itself is unpleasant, and we all know it. You lose body hair, your body is weak. There's plenty of reasons to try to avoid it if you can. And you can using this groundbreaking technology. Microspheres that contain yttrium 90, these tiny glass beads with this radioactive isotope, the radioisotope of yttrium, not the neutral yttrium 89, the radioactive one, yttrium 90. So you can inject these tiny glass beads into the bloodstream, into the blood supply of the cancer tumors, and it can selectively, using selective internal radiation therapy, SIRT, it can target those cancer cells directly and, you know, leave everything else untouched. So this is how yttrium 90 can help treat liver cancer. So first we're going to learn about how it's made, and then we're going to take a closer look at how it works.
Our particle manufacturing process as microspray involves several stages. To create the particle, we first combine the raw materials and form a suspension. We then synthesize them using the Sol-Gel method to achieve the desired chemical composition. After completing the Sol-Gel process, the next step is drying to obtain the target powder. Subsequently, to achieve the intended structural properties, biocompatibility, and a specific characteristic termed PATEL, the synthesized powder undergoes heat treatment at a controlled temperature. Following this, the sample is milled, and the insert process, a term used for spheroidization, is performed to shape the particles into spheres. Once spheroidization is complete, the particles are spherical, but exhibit a broad size distribution, ranging from approximately 15 to 20 micrometers. However, the final product requires particles between 10 to 20 micrometers. To achieve this, we perform particle size classification using mechanical sieving, mechanical screening. After sieving, quality control, QC, is conducted under a microscope. The particles are then sterilized, packaged into specialized vials, and sent for irradiation.
These microspheres, these tiny glass beads that contain yttrium 90, they need to be a very specific size, between 20 to 40, 50 microns. So basically thinner than a hair strand. And they need to be exactly that size or exactly within that range, because if they are too small, then they could essentially seep into other organs of the body. If they are too big, they will just get lodged into the main vessel that is going into the liver. So it needs to be, the size needs to be just right. So once they are injected, they'll essentially lodge themselves around the area where the cancer tumor is getting fed from the blood supply. And they start emitting beta rays that start to shrink the cancer tumor by destroying the DNA of the cancer tumor. And that way, it'll gradually shrink down and get replaced by healthy cells to the point that we can hopefully say that the cancer tumor is essentially gone. And it's compared to the typical external radiation methods, you know, you have to do multiple hospital visits, whereas this is a one-time injection, which is also a lot more precise, hence the selective internal radiation therapy, SIRT. So we're going to take a closer look at how this process works first, and then talk about the broader implications of it.
The patient is first prepared with mild sedation and local anesthesia at the groin. A small incision is made to allow insertion of a catheter into the femoral artery. Using real-time imaging, the catheter is carefully navigated through the arterial network until it reaches the hepatic artery, the main vessel supplying the liver. At this point, a carefully measured suspension of yttrium 90 loaded glass microspheres is injected directly into the hepatic artery. These microspheres, each between 20 and 50 microns in diameter, travel with the bloodstream until they lodge in the tiny arterioles feeding the tumor. Their small size ensures that they preferentially accumulate in the tumor's vascular bed while bypassing much of the healthy tissue. Once the microspheres are in place, they begin to emit beta radiation. This form of radiation penetrates only a few millimeters, targeting the tumor cells while largely sparing the surrounding healthy liver tissue. The beta particles disrupt the DNA within cancer cells, impairing their ability to divide and triggering cell death. This localized radiation gradually shrinks the tumor over several days, as the continuous emission of energy damages the cancer cell's structural integrity. The entire injection process typically takes between 60 to 90 minutes. In the days following the treatment, the microspheres continue to emit radiation, steadily damaging the tumor from within. Throughout this process, the targeted nature of the therapy minimizes systemic side effects typically seen with the traditional chemotherapy or external radiation. By concentrating the therapeutic effects directly at the tumor site, normal liver function is largely preserved, and patients often experience a significant improvement in their quality of life. The precision of this treatment reduces complications and supports a quicker recovery, allowing patients to resume their normal activities sooner. This method represents a significant advance in the treatment of liver cancer, offering a minimally invasive alternative that delivers high doses of radiation directly to the tumor while minimizing exposure to healthy tissues.
It is important to note that the yttrium or Newell glass microspheres injected into patients are biocompatible. The particle size for these microspheres is within the 40 to 50 micron range. Particles smaller than 50 microns risk passing through hepatic capillaries and leaking into the lungs. Particles larger than 50 microns avoid this issue, as they do not migrate from blood vessels into the liver mass. Due to these critical size-dependent effects, strict quality control, QC testing, is performed on the particles to ensure their size falls within the specified range.
The yttrium glass microspheres discussed here are not our primary focus. However, they represent the latest achievement of the radiotherapy equipment research laboratories at the Nuclear Science and Technology Research Institute and are classified as medical devices. This technology serves as a non-surgical alternative for inoperable tumors, either as a standalone treatment or in combination with chemotherapy. A key advantage of this method over conventional radiotherapy is its ability to spare healthy liver tissues, which are highly sensitive to radiation, thereby minimizing adverse side effects. We selected a product with a 100-day time frame to enable faster commercialization and market readiness. Currently, our laboratory focuses on producing internal radiotherapy products, including brachytherapy techniques. These are targeted therapeutic methods capable of localized treatment of tumor tissues. Producing these devices positions us as a regional hub for advancing medical tourism. It is worth noting that our laboratory is the only active facility in the country and the broader region, excluding Russia, specializing in the production of medical radioactive sources. This grants us significant potential in medical tourism. The production of yttrium-90 glass microspheres has already been successfully implemented at the Nuclear Science and Technology Research Institute. The pilot-scale production stages are now complete. The animal phase has been completed, and all necessary tests, including toxicity, dimensional, and density tests, which are specific to the production process, have been conducted. The physical parameters of the product align with those of commercial sources, and from our perspective, this phase is fully accomplished. However, to enter the market, it was imperative to conduct the clinical phase to determine the product's efficacy. We are currently carrying out the clinical phase in collaboration with Shahid Beheshti, University of Medical Sciences. Approximately 20 patients have been treated with this product so far. Initial results reported by the treating physicians have been satisfactory, meeting the parameters we prioritize, such as absence of toxicity, no leakage to other organs, and concentration in liver tissue. These outcomes have been observed and documented in several early-stage treatment cases. Indeed, the preliminary results have been declared promising. These results may include reductions in tumor size, tumor necrosis, decreased vascularization, diminished blood supply to the tumor tissue, and I would like to highlight reduced metabolic activity within the tumor area. Fortunately, the outcomes thus far have been encouraging. God willing, upon completing the clinical phase and analyzing the results, we will proceed to secure the required permits from the Ministry of Health, Treatment, and Medical Education to introduce this product to the market and commence its commercial distribution.
Today we showed you how our scientists are working hard to cause a breakthrough and sort of a revolution in liver cancer treatment in Iran using these microspheres that contain yttrium-90, the radioisotope of yttrium, which, fun fact, is actually being produced inside this nuclear power reactor because you need a reactor to create radioisotopes. And we're waiting for the final stages of the clinical trials to get the approval to be able to produce it at scale, to become only the second country in the world to be able to produce these yttrium-90 radioisotopes at scale for commercial use. So we're hoping for that to happen sooner rather than later. And with that said, we've come to the end of this episode of Iran Sig.
Let's recite the Quran.
وَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ جَعَلْنَا بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْآخِرَةِ حِجَابًا مَسْتُورًا.
القرآن نور وبيان، القرآن هدي الإيمان، القرآن مسك الختام، يا قرآن عليك سلام.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Welcome to this episode of Let's Recite the Quran. My name is Brother Muhammad, and with me in the studio we have Brother Masoom, Brother Hassan and Hussein, and we're missing Ali. Wherever you are, Brother Ali, we miss you a lot in the studio, in this episode at least. Inshallah, in this episode we will be concluding the Surah Al-Ma'arij. We are in the last four verses of this chapter, verses number 40, 41, 42, and 43. And 44 of this chapter, inshallah. Brother Masoom, can you please recite verses number 41 and 42 of this chapter, Surah Ma'arij?
Yes. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. على أن نبدل خيرا منهم وما نحن بمسبوقين. فذرهم يخوضوا ويلعبوا حتى يلاقوا يومهم الذي يوعدون.
يلاقوا.
Yes.
Not يلاقوا. Right. Keep in mind there is no تفخيم for لام. Right. As opposed to that, we have, for example, you did recite تفخيم well for the verse number 41. خيرا. Right. تفخيم. Tafkhim basically means heavy recitation of the tafkhim letters. What are the tafkhim letters, by the way?
Tafkhim letters.
Yeah.
Letters that should be pronounced.
Yeah, but what are those? Tell me the letter, the actual tafkhim letters.
We have qaf, we have sad, we have ra, we have ghain.
Ahsantum.
We have dad.
Yeah.
We have la, we have ta.
Mm-hmm.
And so on.
Very good. So they're not they're not many for you to forget them.
Yes.
Let me give you the exact tafkhim letters so that kha, sad, bad, ghain, ta, qaf, and va. These are all khussa, khussa, dhaghatin, qidh. If you can memorize that, these are all the tafkhim letters.
Beautiful word.
Khussa. ضغطن قض. These are all تفخيم letters. It's a key word for you to memorize to keep to be up to date with the تفخيم letters. And also keep in mind ra and lam are also تفخيم, right? But ra is ترقيق whenever it has a كسرة itself or a كسرة before it, and itself is ساكن, right? And lam only in the letter of Allah, in the word of Allah, whenever we have a fatha or dhamma before Allah, right? We recite it with tafkhim. Allah. You see fatha? Qul huwa Allah. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And then if it is kasra before the lam of Allah, we recite it with tarqiq. Lillahi. A flattened lam. Tarqiq means flattening the voice. Lillahi. It's always flattening the voice unless you have the tafkhim letter or the tafkhim position, right? In this case, tafkhim position, Allah. Allah is tafkhim position, it's not a tafkhim letter. But in other cases, it's tafkhim letters. Kha, sa, da, gha, ta, qa, va. All of these are tafkhim letters. In this case, we have khayra, right? Ala an nubaddila khayran, right?
Yes.
Tafkhim letters. We, instead of reciting khayran minhum, you recited khayran minhum. Why the ghunna and why the connection between this tanween and meem?
It's because of idgham.
Idgham. Ahsantum. And what does idgham say?
It says when there is noon saken, and after that we have yarmalun letters.
Mm-hmm.
we must apply.
Exactly. So khayran, although it is tanween, in reality it was nun sakin at the end. And nun sakin followed by yarmalun letters. So which is ya, ra, mim, waw, lam, and nun. Right? Yarmalun letters. One of them is mim. So we have mim here. So this ruling of idgham is applied here. Right? Khayran minhum. And idgham can be applied either with ghunna or without ghunna. Sure. With ghunna is whenever we have non-ra and lam letters. Yamun, ya, mim, waw, and nun. In this case, it is mim. So we have to do it with ghunna. Ghunna basically means a nasal sound and a small stretch. Khayran minhum. Right? Again, before this as well, we have an idgham. An-nubaddila. It was an-nubaddila, but then we do the idgham of mithlain, the two noon next to each other. We do idgham. An-nubaddila. And this is again with ghunna, a small nasal sound and a stretch. Ahsantum.
Ala an-nubaddila khayran minhum wa ma nahnu bimasbuqin.
To replace them with better than them, and we are not to be outdone.
فَذَرْهُمْ يَخُوضُوا وَيَلْعَبُوا حَتَّى يُلَاقُوا يَوْمَهُمُ الَّذِي يُوعَدُونَ.
So leave them to converse vainly and amuse themselves until they meet their day which they are promised.
We will move on to the next verse in the interest of time, and we'll keep all the other points, inshallah, for the next verse. Verse number 43, I'll ask Brother Hassan to please take the honors of reciting it.
يَوْمَ يَخْرُجُونَ مِنَ الْأَجْدَاسِ سِرَاعًا كَأَنَّهُمْ إِلَى نُسُوبٍ يُوفِظُونَ.
أحسنتم, you've improved a lot, but then keep in mind the stretches. And I think there is a very tricky part in this verse that many of us might not be able to, or might not be focusing on. أَجْدَاثِ سِرَاعًا. Right? This is not a tajweed issue. This is a مخارج الحروف issue. Yes. مخارج الحروف basically means the execution of the sound of the letters. We have ثَ and سَ next to each other. And this is not a very common case. It's a bit difficult sometimes when we are reciting to make sure we distinguish these two letters. Ajdathi. At the end of ajdath, we have a tha. Alif ba ta tha. And tha is recited with a tongue in between your teeth, right? Ajdathi sira'an. Now, seen is a normal flat S. Sa, sa. The normal S of English. Sa. Ajdathi sira'an. Thi sira'an. Keep in mind that this does not confuse you. Again, at the beginning of the verse, يَوْمَ يَخْرُجُونَ يَخْرُجُونَ. This is these two, خَا and لَا are تَفْخِيم letters. Heavy voice and a rounded mouth. يَخْرُجُونَ مِنَ الْأَجْدَاثِ. What ruling is applied at the Jim Sakin, brother Hassan? أَجْدَاثِ.
قَلْقَلَ.
Qalqala, very good. Qalqala basically means that qutub jad letters, qaf, ta, ba, jim, and dal, any of these letters when they're sakin, to distinguish between the letters, we add an echoing sound to them. It was originally ajdath, we say ajdath, a small echoing sound. Yawma yakhurujuna minal ajdathi sira'an ka'annahum. Is this correct? Or سِرَاعًا كَأَنَّهُمْ. Can you tell me the difference and tell me which one is the correct one, Brother Hassan? Let me repeat that once again. سِرَاعًا كَأَنَّهُمْ. Is this the correct recitation? Or سِرَاعًا كَأَنَّهُمْ. This one.
The first one.
The first one? Are you sure? Can you tell me the difference between the two recitation?
Yes. You made in the first recitation, you read it normally. Sira'an.
Yeah, without ghunna. There was no ghunna between the tanween of sira'an and the kaf of ka'anna. But in the second one, I did give the ghunna. Why did I give the ghunna for the second one? And the second one is the correct, by the way. Because ka is one of the mouth letters. And there is a ruling called ikhfa. Ikhfa basically means whenever we have a tanween or a noon sakin, followed by any of the mouth letters. Ka is one of the mouth letters, right? If I want to name all the mouth letters, they're very simple. Let me just give you those, the list of the mouth letters quickly. Ta, tha, ja, da, tha, za, sa, sha, sa, da, ta, va, tha, qa, ka. All of these are mouth letters, right? Now keep in mind, ka is one of them. And so therefore we have a nun sakin. After that we have ka. And this means that we have to apply ikhfa. Ikhfa means silencing the sound of noon and giving it a ghunna. Ghunna means a small nasal sound with a small stretch. Originally, it would have been sira'an ka'annahum. After applying ikhfa, it would become sira'an ka'annahum. Ila nusubin yufidhun. Originally, it was nusubin yufidhun, but because of idgham, and we did explain idgham in this episode, I think twice, I believe. Nusubin yufidhun. It becomes merged, the noon at the end of the tanween of the nusub and the ya of yufidhun. Right? They're merged and the ghunna sound is there.
يَوْمَ يَخْرُجُونَ مِنَ الْأَجْدَاثِ سِرَاعًا كَأَنَّهُمْ إِلَى نُصُبٍ يُوفِضُونَ.
The day they will emerge from the graves rapidly, as if they were toward an erected idol, hastening.
We will continue the other points for the last verse, and we will save the last verse for none other than Brother Hussein. The last verse of Surah Al-Ma'arij, verse number 44. Please take the honors.
خَاشِعَةً أَبْصَارُهُمْ تَرْحَقُهُمْ ذِلَّةِ ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمُ الَّذِي كَانُوا يُوعَدُونَ.
أحسنتم. Very beautiful recitation. خَاشِعَةً, it's idhar. There is no ikhfa or idgham or ghunna, anything. There's normal pronunciation. خَاشِعَةً أَبْصَارُهُمْ. Now, أَبْصَارُهُمْ, I'll give you one ruling and you'll give me the other. The first ruling is a ruling of تَفْخِيم. Rounded mouth with a heavy sound. أَبْصَارُهُمْ. صَاد and را are تَفْخِيم letters. It's not أَبْصَارُهُمْ. أَبْصَارُهُمْ. Right? Can you tell me the other ruling that is involved in this? أَبْصَارُهُمْ. قلقلة. The ba is a sakin ba, and so therefore we give it an echoing sound. خاشعة أبصارهم ترهقهم ترهقهم. Again, a تفخيم letter. قا. الراء is also with تفخيم. ترهقهم. I'm sorry, not ح. ترهقهم. Right? ذلة. And there is a waqf here, and the waqf is a ja'iz waqf, meaning that you can stop or you can continue, and there is no preference for either. It's up to you. ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمُ الَّذِي كَانُوا يُوعَدُونَ.
خَاشِعَةً أَبْصَارُهُمْ تَرْهَقُهُمْ ذِلَّةٌ ذَلِكَ الْيَوْمُ الَّذِي كَانُوا يُوعَدُونَ.
Their eyes humbled, humiliation will cover them. That is the day which they had been promised.
Inshallah, we'll recite the last four verses of Surah Al-Ma'arij together. A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Ala an nubaddila khayran minhum wa ma nahnu bimasbuqin.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. على أن نبدل خيرا منهم وما نحن بمسبوقين.
Keep in mind for خيرا, both خاء and راء are with تفخيم. خيرا, not خيرا. خيرا, keep the roundedness for both the خاء and راء.
فَذَرُهُمْ يَخُوضُوا وَيَلْعَبُوا حَتَّى يُلَاقُوا يَوْمَهُمُ الَّذِي يُوعَدُونَ.
فذرهم يخوضوا ويلعبوا حتى يلاقوا يومهم الذي يوعدون
يوم يخرجون من الأجداث سراعا كأنهم إلى نصب يوفضون
يوم يخرجون من الأجداث سراعا كأنهم إلى نصب يوفضون
خاشعة أبصارهم ترهقهم ذلة ذلك اليوم الذي كانوا يوعدون
خاشعة أبصارهم ترهقهم ذلة ذلك اليوم الذي كانوا يوعدون
صدق الله العلي العظيم
صدق الله العلي العظيم
And that's the conclusion of this episode and also the finishing and the conclusion of Surah Al-Ma'arij, chapter number 70 of the Noble Qur'an. We bid you farewell with that. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. وآل محمد
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان والقرآن
A diverse range of programs Spirituality Eastern Tales.